sign off at this time because of federal restrictions and nighttime broadcasting for AM stations. We'll
return AM 1470, we are W. PAO, Farrell, Youngstown.
It's Friday evening, December the 19th. Hi, I'm Jim Cunningham. You're
good evening, this is Pastor Gary Roy from First Assembly of God in Vienna, coming to you live. We have a special program today. We have a guest calling in that's going to be an interview. Jim, tell us a little bit about
it. Yes, good evening, everyone. Tonight we have the privilege of having a gentleman from California with us that's well-versed in the phenomenon of UFOs and many of the current events that are taking place on the West Coast, namely one being Area 51. The gentleman's name tonight that we're going to interview is Norio Halakawa, and we're going to get to Norio in just a few minutes. But for those of you that may be joining us for the first time and wondering what Christian formatting would be doing dealing with a subject like UFOs and those type of issues, the reason we're doing it is to try to raise the awareness of people throughout our community concerning the phenomena of the UFO enigma and to make people aware of what's going on that may have influence upon their lives as we approach the end of the age. So we're going to give you a little bit of a backdrop tonight as to what we're doing, and we're going to let you know what we've done up to this point. And what I want to basically bring you up to speed on is to know that in our first program we interviewed a gentleman by the name of Bob Kaminsky, who wrote a book called Lying Wonders. And in that, Bob determined that he feels that fallen angels and demonic spirits are now masquerading in such a way and trying to influence the minds of men, women, and children throughout the planet to believe in extraterrestrial life and to begin to seek them out and try to find answers to all life's problems that they may be encountering. Secondly, we brought a gentleman on board by the name of Dr. I.D.E. Thomas, who wrote a book called The Omega Conspiracy. And Dr. Thomas basically concluded that in the end times that he believes that fallen angels may once again appear on the earth as they did back in Genesis chapter 6. And we discussed that issue rather candidly and determined there is a real possibility that we may have to deal with that issue. Tonight we're not going to open our phone lines up immediately to call-ins because of the interview, but we may have time at the end of the program for your response to some of the subjects or the issues that we're going to raise this evening. Also, we want to make it clear that we believe from a biblical perspective that this thing with UFOs and fallen angels can be very clearly explained, and we'll try to demonstrate that tonight and in the days ahead as we deal with the different subjects concerning the UFO phenomena and all the paranormal material that goes with it. So without too much further ado tonight, I want to introduce this friend of mine, Norio Halakawa from California. Norio was one of the first individuals to trek into Area 51. I found out the other day as I was just talking with people walking throughout the community, I was asking the question, what do you think of when I say Area 51? And I was amazed that most people know right away where to go with that particular comment. They knew that it's affiliated and associated with the UFO phenomena. It's affiliated perhaps with Roswell, immediately comes to mind when you mention that. And it's also affiliated with a top secret base where our government has produced and experimented with experimental planes for several decades. Norio was one of the first individuals that ever trekked into that area with a camera crew from Japan, I believe, Nippon Television, and he was one of the first that ever went in and took actual live footage of what appears to be something out of this world being flown, or from out of this world being flown over that particular region. Now, Norio has views on that, and he's going to share that with us tonight. He has a great deal more with his bio than I'm familiar with, so I'm going to ask him to come in at this time and share with us a little bit of background concerning himself, and then we'll begin the program by just simply asking questions and let Norio share with us what's on his heart tonight. So with that, Norio, we invite you on. Brother, come on in here and say hi.
Hello, Jim, and also Pastor Gary. It's my privilege to be able to appear on your very, very important program this afternoon. And I have been investigating and actually visiting the proximity of this location known as Area 51, which right now has become a household word because of the publicity since about 2 or 3 years ago. But in 1989, when I began the search for what is happening at Area 51, at that time, very few individuals knew about the Area 51. Even the name Area 51 was unrecognizable in the public.
Okay, Nora, for the ones that may not be familiar, now I made the statement and you've made the statement that many people are well aware of what Area 51 means. Just for the sake of those who may not, this may be their first time of ever really stopping to listen and participate on this issue. What is Area 51?
Well, Jim, basically Area 51 is a huge complex located about 125 miles north of Las Vegas, Nevada, and it's the nation's leading edge technological research and development center for aeronautics and avionics. And also, it is a location where, along with avionics and aeronautics, new types of weapon systems are incorporated in many of these aircraft. And so it's a conglomerate facility, and it's a very secretive location that has at least 2,500 to about 2,800 employees, all working on in a highly compartmentalized work. And as a whole, most of the workers there, engineers, I would suspect that they are not being shown the whole picture because they are not allowed to get information on the co-workers and so on, because this is part of the strategy of the Department of Defense, the high compartmentalization.
What was your reason for going into Area 51? I mentioned that, and what exactly, what prompted you to want to go to this location?
Well, it was basically in 1989 that I was listening to a talk radio coming from Las Vegas, and I could hear it in Los Angeles. And in September, I believe, I was listening to the program, a late-night talk show of that particular station. And nightly, there was a guest who claimed that he had been working on reverse engineering of a spacecraft not of this world. And I was very curious. And finally, after trying really hard to contact this person, I succeeded in contacting this alleged scientist, and we succeeded in interviewing him at his residence in Las Vegas in 1990, February. And we interviewed him for about 5 or 6 hours on February the 21st of 1990. And he told us that if we go to a particular location on a dirt road about 120 miles north of Las Vegas, we could see the test flight of some of the craft that he allegedly said that he was working on. And lo and behold, on the evening of Wednesday, February the 21st, 1990, I took a television crew from Japan, and eight of us, the crew and myself, went to the exact location that this scientist, his name was Bob Lazar, told us to go. And he didn't accompany us that particular evening, but he told us exactly where to go, and we had definitely witnessed an amazing aerial display of what appeared to be highly, highly unconventional aircraft. At that time, I was very astounded, and so was the TV crew. And we, of course, took the footage of this flight of a brilliant object that appeared over Groom Mountain, which really made some amazing maneuvering, such as the sudden ascension, sudden descension, and acceleration, and within a very limited space over there, and making almost a zigzag type of maneuvering. And I was very impressed. And subsequently, there was a two-hour television program produced in Japan called Area 51 and the strange happenings in New Mexico, both New Mexico and Nevada. And that was a two-hour program that was broadcast in Japan in March of 1990, which was seen by about 40 million people. So actually, the people in Japan knew about Area 51 earlier than the American public. And so this is very interesting. But over the years, I have come to realize that there must be a definite agenda other than what we're being told about Area 51. And I have been going there near that proximity for many, many years, since 1989. And I recently made a trek also about a month and a half ago. And I witnessed or I observed the Area 51 facility from a distance by climbing atop a 9,000-foot mountain, which is about 21 miles away. And that is the only location right now from where one can legally view this strange facility, also known as Groom Lake Facility.
Okay, here again on the East Coast, many people don't know what happened to bring that about. There's two questions I want to give you before I forget. And the first question being, Bob Lazar, what do we know about him? Have we ever been able to really establish that he has the credentials that he claims he has? And what was the reason that it became so difficult to get near this facility? What happened to bring that about?
Well, the story behind Bob Lazar is really shrouded in mystery itself. We have not been able to prove nor disprove his background. We just believe that he definitely was a part of possibly witting or unwitting manipulation set up by the government, so-called government, to bring about certain agenda. And the certain agenda is the agenda of the so-called alien presence at Area 51. It seems to me over these years that the government has been manipulating the public into the acceptance of the alien presence. And this is the reason why since 1947, along with the so-called Roswell incident, the American public gradually but surely has been exposed to this idea, this scenario. And the scenario is the popular belief or suspicion that in 1947, an alien spacecraft crashed in Roswell and was later transferred to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in Ohio, and then later on transferred to Area 51 in Nevada as a part of the back engineering program. And so with movies like Independence Day and increasing number of movies are just part of, I would say, well-calculated manipulation to acquaint us with alien presence.
Okay, that brings up the second part now. I don't believe you shared as to what happened that made it so difficult for you to get into that area. What took place back in the 80s, if I understand correctly, that made it so difficult to get near Area 51?
Well, even right now, it is difficult to get to Area 51. In fact, you cannot, of course, go inside Area 51 because of the presence of anonymous security force. And these security force will just make a threatening move when anyone tries to approach the entrance from the dirt roads, the various dirt roads that surround the outer perimeters of Area 51. You cannot go inside the inside perimeters. Even the outside perimeters, they start, their presence is ominous.
How many acres of land does that involve?
Well, Jim, 3 years ago, as you might have heard, the Air Force withdrew about 4,000 acres of additional land outside of Area 51 to prevent people from seeing the facility. And that was just 4,000 acres that surround the outside perimeter. So actually, Area 51 itself, it's I would say, has about, it could be anywhere from 12,000 to 15,000 acres.
Go ahead. Well, I was going to say, hadn't they also back earlier taken around 89,000 acres, just come in and took
that
them?
That is absolutely true, Jim. In 1985, they had withdrawn 90,000 acres of area that surrounds Area 51. And, Jim, the interesting thing is that Area 51, or Groom Lake Complexes, is part of an area called Dreamland, and it's part of the Dreamland airspace. And it is interesting because we believe that Dreamland, of course, is the acronym for Data Repository Establishment and Maintenance Land.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a definite designation. Aircraft cannot fly over this area. Even the military jets from Nellis Air Force Base outside of Las Vegas, unless they get approval prior to the, flyover.
Was that public land that was taken? Did people actually live in there on parts of that land?
Well, actually, yes, it was public land. There had been mines in the Groom Mountains, but of course, in 1985, all of these were taken. But of course, a very, very few people actually lived over there. There was just one ranch. But right now, actually, nobody lives anywhere near that area. The closest community to Area 51 is a small community called Rachel, Nevada, which is about 23 miles north of Groom Lake, in which some of the workers actually live.
Mm-hmm. How many times have you been to this site?
Well, actually, Jim, I have been right to the next to the perimeter of Area 51. About, I would say, anywhere from 18 to 20 times already.
And you've seen, basically, every time you went, did you see something, or was it just once?
No, basically, out of all these treks to that area, I had probably about 50% observation rate of some strange aircraft.
I know there was another gentleman that claims he went there, and Bill Hamilton claims he went to the mailbox area and had some paranormal experiences. Did you ever experience anything like that while you were there?
Well, while I was there, I had not experienced any paranormal type of experience, but there are many such reports
mm-hmm.
over these years. And, contrary to the this informative article that appeared this year in Popular Mechanics, Area 51 has not closed down or has not moved to another location in Utah. And this is just a disinformation. In fact, Area 51 is expanding
When I was there, you know, observing the facility just about a month and a half ago, I had seen the what appears to be new water tanks being built and several other constructions going on. So, in fact, it is expanding with many, many new programs being added.
Do you know of any other sites like this in our country?
Oh, yes. There are several sites like this. But as far as the avionics and aeronautics, yes, Area 51 is the leading-edge development center. But there are other locations. For example, right now, even though this is not a top-secret facility, within the Fort Benning, Georgia, I think they are working on the new series of unmanned aerial vehicles. In Utah, yes, there are many secret facilities, but for example, Dugway Proving Grounds is one of the most secretive locations, even though it is, you know, it's admitted by the military that Dugway Proving Grounds exists. But what is taking place inside near Dugway Proving Grounds is a different matter. It's secretive. It's part of the biological warfare programs. And so in this country, Jim, there are many, many locations that are conducting top-secret military operations. Even in California, places like China Lake Naval Weapons Center, which is a huge, huge expanse of land in a California desert. And it's really strange that in the middle of the desert, there is this naval weapons development program going on.
Okay. Pastor Gary Roy's with us, as you heard me announce at the beginning of the program, and he's going to come in and ask you a couple questions, and then we'll give you a break and give you a chance to grab a drink of water. I got a little article here I want to read about a recent Associated Press release, and we'll give you a break, and I'll get back to you right after that.
Yes. Norio, would you say that the items that you've seen, whether it's saucer or aircraft, is that our technology, or is the government using a technology of, well, let's just say, of superior intelligence?
Well, there are two points to the situation. Yes, we do have the what appears to be a duplicating, the duplicated hardware that our government had been working on and have amazingly come to such a state of art that they actually, I would say that the bulk of the things that we see are made, U.S. made. But the inspiration or the ideas that constantly come to construct these things are, I think, the inspiration is coming from intelligence, unseen forces, which I believe are fallen entities, giving the inspiration or the suggestions to create destructive weapon systems mounted on these saucer-looking objects.
So do I understand you correct in saying that you believe that any UFO phenomena would be demonically inspired rather than, let's say, extraterrestrial?
Well, I would say for the most part, whatever is causing grief or whatever is causing hazard or dangers or manipulation is definitely not benign or benevolent. My own personal opinion is that the government is being deceived by the materializations of these entities posing as alien entities and posing as they are the emissaries of advanced civilizations that are giving the technology to the government in secrecy. But I definitely believe that there are benevolent entities in this world because God made millions and millions, untold number of, his angels. But I believe that about a third of the whole angelic entities in the universe succumbed to the, the rebellion of Lucifer, and those are the ones that are causing havoc and possibly, most likely, deceiving the government.
Okay, Nora, we're going to give you a moment to catch your breath and perhaps take a drink of water. I'm going to read a newspaper article here that I just recently came by this week. Those of you who are listening in, you just may have tuned in, you may wonder what you're listening to. This is Jim Cunningham and Pastor Gary Roy, and we are the host of a program called Issues and Answers, a Biblical Perspective, and we're dealing with the paranormal material mostly because we feel it's a field that's been greatly neglected within and around the body of Christ, and we're trying to raise the awareness of paranormal activity that's been going on for centuries, but especially in these days. We see a lot in the realm of people interested in psychics and angels and corresponding and communicating with life from outer space. And you may probably remember one of the most recent tragedies was the Heaven's Gate group that thought that they could somehow evolve to a higher state of consciousness by destroying their body physically. And this is one of the sad stories that comes along with this phenomena. Even though there are some stories that have some what appear to be happy endings to them, and even those are suspect when you get into it from a biblical perspective. Several years ago, I think it was about 1991, that I was out in Las Vegas, and I was interviewing a gentleman by the name of Bob Exler, and he had just recently submitted to us the idea that the popularity of this phenomena was running about 50-50, and he questioned why that the many of the industry and businesses in our country would run the risk of alienating themselves, excuse the pun there, but basically alienating themselves from the public by submitting so much alien concepts in their advertisements. And he also brought to our awareness at that time, as I brought up over the last couple of weeks, that the Brookings Institute was basically contacted back in the 60s to do a study on what might happen if we were to come in contact with life from outer space, and in the event we did, what we'd have to do about it. And then at that time, it was determined that if we did come in contact with life from outer space, it may need to be kept from us because of the uncertainty of how we would respond to it, and also that that there may be some threat to religion. There also may be the need, if they've determined that they can go ahead with the process of indoctrinating people over a process of several decades. And many people believe at this time that's exactly what's going on. When you consider the movie lines over the last 15 years dealing with the extraterrestrial phenomena, and recently the television sitcoms and all your different comedy aspects that are presented on television in a lighthearted manner, we see people are becoming more and more interested and fascinated by the UFO phenomena and all that's related to it. So with that, I want to read this recent press release that I got this week off of the Internet. It's from the Washington AP, and it reads like this. It says, most Americans think there is intelligent life on other planets, more intelligent, in fact, than on Earth. The public loves this stuff. They always have, said Paul Horowitz, a professor of physics at Harvard, when told of the finding made public Monday by the Marist Institute for Public Opinion. Horowitz directs a project that operates a 250 million channel receiver listening for signals from space. It could be that the American people are taking two and two and coming up with four, said Brian Welch, a spokesman for the National Aeronautics and Space Administration. What pleased the space community was the response to this question. Do you think there is life on other planets? 60% of the people said yes, and 40% said no. Marist researchers then asked those who said yes if they thought life on other planets is more or less about as intelligent as human life on Earth. The aliens came out ahead on that question, with 47% of Americans saying they thought extraterrestrial life was more intelligent, 13% said less intelligent, and 40% said it was about the same. By a margin of 86 to 14, people said they thought galactic neighbors are friendlier than rather than hostile. Despite the positive view of the possibility of life on other planets, the survey found Americans divided on spending for space programs. 47% said the government is spending too much. 43% said funding was about right, and 10% said it was too low. Asked if they thought the space program was a good investment, 45% said yes, 55% said the money would be better spent on other programs. The telephone survey was conducted October the 5th and 7th. Marist questioned 935 adults by telephone, and the results had a margin of error to 3 to 5% points. Broken down by age, people from 18 through 60 were strongly supportive of the idea of life on other planets, but people older than 60 rejected the idea by a margin of 67 to 33. The subject has moved a lot in just the last couple of years, said Lewis Friedman, executive director of Planetary Society, whose 100,000 members are strong advocates of continuing research into the possibility of life in outer space. Horowitz said researchers are riding along on this wave of technological innovation. He said his project listens on 250 million channels simultaneously. The first serious search for signals from space was in 1960 and has just had just one channel, he said. So I wanted to share that little bit of information with you just to let you know how we're progressing on this thing. The indoctrination process, as Norio mentioned and others are bringing up frequently, seems to be working. People are beginning to believe, and they're beginning to take note of this subject, and their curiosity has been touched, and they're beginning to say, we want to know more about what's out there. And there are a number of groups that we call New Age or whatever title you want to put on them, claim that they have made contact with people from outer space, and they are going to come sometime in the near future and help us evolve to a higher state of living. But the Word of God also has something to say about that, and so that's why it's necessary for us to get involved in this issue and try to address it. So with that, I just wanted to share that little bit of information with you and get back to Norio now and continue our questioning. This gentleman has been on several nationally syndicated radio programs and television programs and shared his information. He is highly respected. He knows a great deal about Area 51. He's probably one of the best or most well-read on this subject, and he's aware of all the number one players in this phenomena, and he's met them and talked with them, and he's determined that something is going on. Like us, he is trying to find out what the bottom line is. We're going to try to get to what he believes the bottom line is as we proceed into the program. So we're going to continue our questioning at this time, Norio, and ask you, do you believe there are aliens from some other world at this present time on Earth?
Well, you know, Jim, I think the public is, of course, confused about the terminology, and the terminology is really just the thing that confuses, a lot of people. Definitely, I believe that God created the angels. I mean, there's no question about it. God created us, God created numerous angelic entities in this universe, and as far as I'm concerned, we have enough problems here, really, to worry about whether there are other planets with similar problems. I mean, we have enough problems on our own. Now, I do believe that the so-called alien entities that are seen throughout the world are real, in that it is a materialization of angelic entities. And for the most part, like I mentioned to you, according to the Bible, there are really actually fallen entities that are, especially right now, making the last attempt to deceive the public. In fact, the Bible itself says that a strong delusion will be sent. And you know, the biggest delusion is, of course, the denial of the deity of Jesus Christ as the Savior and the Son of God. And the greatest danger to all of this alien presence concept is the tendency to deify these alien entities and substitute them as the Messiah.
Do you find that the numbers, the places that you frequent, do you find that the numbers are growing in this pursuit of believing that?
Oh, it is growing. It just leaps and bounds. And this is really a fulfillment of prophecy regarding the end-time deception. Yes, no doubt about it. Televisions, movies, the mass media, hype is all geared towards the substitution of alien entities as the hope of the world, to change the world.
I have found individuals that are that claim to be in contact with these creatures are very cordial. They're very courteous. They have a attitude of love towards one another. Do you find that these people have wrapped themselves in a religious garb that could be well received by many people?
Yes, I believe so, because as the Bible says, even the elect will be deceived. In fact, you know, it is getting very difficult to distinguish just exactly what is from the Lord and what is not, you see, and that's the age we're living in. It's getting really hard to distinguish. For example, even in television programs such as the X-Files programs, which are very popular, initially, you know, 6, 7, 8 years ago when they started that program, the public could tell what was science fiction and what was reality. But as the years progressed, and now it is getting difficult to distinguish what is science reality and what science fiction. The line is getting thinner and thinner as far as technology-wise. Now we have technology right now available to actually simulate what may appear to be supernatural phenomena.
And what is that called? Is that part of that DARPA program that you were talking
about?
Yes,
there are many programs that incorporate the simulation technology. For example, hologramic projections are now possible by the three-dimensional projection of hologramic images in the atmosphere or over the battlefield situations, like the Pentagon has been working on, to be able to project three-dimensional images over the battlefield to bring advantage. And by three-dimensional images, we're talking about, you know, the image of anything, helicopters, maybe flying saucers even, or religious figures can be projected into the cloud or mist so that it would be seen by the enemy soldiers or maybe the public as part of a deception.
I have a friend who shared something with me this week. He said he saw it on the Learning Channel, and I myself did not view it. But he said that the government actually demonstrated before the camera that they have what they consider non-lethal weapons, and they can actually cause a person to fall to the ground and be unable to move by putting out a signal from a plane overhead, one of their jets, and cause them to be unable to get up and function. I guess they used that weapon in Haiti when they went down there to deal with that situation. And he also said that they had on board this craft a science comparable and right up to speed with the Forrest Gump type presentation, to where they can intercept actual programming on radio and television, especially television, and they can actually make you see something in that programming that's not really there. It's just as they did in the movie where Forrest Gump was shaking hands with President Kennedy. Have you heard about this yet?
Yes, it's a very interesting concept, and it's just not only a concept, it's a reality. There are technologies. In fact, the United States Naval Research Laboratory for many, many years had been working on a whole series of such mind control weapon systems. In fact, this is possible due to the fact that every human being is equipped with a tiny particle of natural magnetite in our brain, and this is how God made it. But, humans have a tendency to misuse what God makes and for their own advantage and, agenda. And especially the military, they have been working on the alteration of behavioral patterns by bombarding certain frequency waves on an individual and affecting their behavioral patterns. And this is a reality. And if they can do that, they can also affect, the thinking process or anything. That can actually do anything with the human brain. And this is part of the growing non-lethal weapons arsenal. And by the definition of non-lethal, doesn't mean it's non-lethal. It is lethal in that it will damage the brain. The electromagnetic waves, ELFs, and all of these things are really had been tested many times, and along with a new series of lasers, along with the use of biochips for deceptive purposes. But some of these are really becoming part of the military's new weapon systems. And yes, we need a strong defense, but the biggest fear is the possible misuse of these things while testing these things, in the general public.
Norio, I have talked with many missionaries out in the mission field who have said that when something happens, an incident in their particular country, that the news media does not really report it the way they experience on the mission field, especially in the political arena. Do you believe it's possible, in light of what Jim said, that in the light of these new technologies with television, since television is our media today, and basically people, when they see something on TV, it's almost like they're there and they're an eyewitness. Do you believe our government could use that to dupe or deceive the American public?
Well, Pastor, I think the military had the capacity to conduct mass psychological experiments. In fact, there have been a series of such testings of mass psychology. And when a private company can affect the minds of children, for example, in case that just recently happened in Japan, more than 800 children started, becoming in a convulsed state and were hospitalized by watching this particular animation program, and, by seeing a flickering, strange light coming from the screen of this animation. this is just a private company. So imagine what the military has already. And I think all we need is some kind of a series of crises to actually affect and alter the behavior of the public. For example, by subliminal messages or even direct intervention of mind control system by the television media.
Norio, I know you started you just finished a new video called Panic Project. What's that all about? What's this new concept?
Yes, the Panic Project is a two-hour video that I just finished with a colleague of mine. And just as the title says, it's the hypothesis that the government or the secret government, when I talk about government, I mean the secret world elitist government, could possibly stage a deceptive scenario to create panic in the world to bring us all into a new system, globalized, Orwellian New World Order system, by staging some event, deceptive event. For example, possibly staging a scenario of alien invasion by technology, which is very possible. And this video, the Panic Project, Area 51, is a video that has a lot of footages and actually has a lot of interviews with people that actually participated in some of these things. For example, we have an interview with an astronomer in Nevada who actually witnessed remotely controlled what appeared to be security personnel that he encountered several times near Area 51. And also, this video has actual footages of the facility. And so I've been working on this video, and it's completed. And just like Orson Welles in 1932, I believe, or 36, I'm not sure, but the famous Martian invasion drama, I think 1938, how it affected the public. That was, so many years ago. But with today's technology, that scenario can be more effective with our present technology. And this is the main theme of this video, the Panic Project.
Mm-hmm. I'm wondering, as we're sitting here talking, many people might be listening in there thinking, these gentlemen sound paranoid. Why is it that so many of us that are deeply involved in this research have come to the point where we distrust just about everything about the government and the political process? Can you give a candid response to that type of a question? Why are we so quick to think that there's something clandestine going on in this realm?
Well, are not explained sufficiently. For example, there are still so many incidents that took place within the past few years that we have just not been given the whole facts. For example, the disappearance of A-10 in Arizona and Colorado this March of this year, that has not been explained completely. The flight of the downing of the TWA-800 has not been completely explained. The other incidents have not been explained. The crash of the plane that had Ron Brown in Bosnia has not been completely explained. And so, the public is beginning to really consider the conspiratorial angle. In fact, the Newsweek even came out with this report that a growing number of Americans does not take the news media as 100% accurately as before.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as paranoia, I think that we are really being part of the two-pronged manipulation by the secret government to bring us into the belief system that they want us to believe. They want The secret government can also manipulate the conspiracy theories themselves to bring confusion to the public. On one hand, creating those who actually really believe in conspiracy theories, and then on the other hand, creating ridiculous stories to make other people just not really, you know, accept conspiracy theories. So it's a double-edged program that has been going on.
Well, we as Christians in this country, we like to be upbeat and we like to be positive. What could a Christian do in light of all that you and I are discussing here this evening? And there is much more that we could have got into, and time just won't permit. What can a Christian do to prepare for this in the event that this presentation that you're talking about might manifest itself, or an actual invasion from the heavens would come and challenge them in their belief system?
Well, this is a very good question. Like I mentioned, it is becoming very difficult to distinguish what is real and what is not real, because that's how the enemy, namely the diabolical entity, want us to fall into. In other words, they want us to fall into the deception. And the line that distinguishes between what is from God and what is from Satan is becoming very difficult to distinguish. So I would recommend that the best protection is the sword of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that God has given us, and then also the Word of God. And putting the armor of God is really the best protection. Especially in these days that we're living in, we're in a very few years, we'll be approaching the millennium, and it's going to get more difficult. And as far as politically wise, we have to really work hard to bring about a better a government, of course. That's our duties as citizens, but on the other hand, we have to insist that the answer is in the Word of God, and we cannot actually fight with guns and so on, weapons, because we cannot. There's no match for with high technology that the secret government has already. As far as doing things, we have to do our best to inform the public, and I think you are doing such a great work in this line, because I think information is the best, one of the best weapons and defense systems.
Okay.
Yes.
That reminds me of I get this question all the time. I've been in this for 25 years, and as you probably have experienced yourself, it gets very lonely sometimes in this field. And people ask me, why in the world have you wasted so much time on studies such as this? And I'll ask you that question. Do you feel that you've wasted your life studying this material? And why have you stayed faithful to this for so many years? What's your purpose for bringing this up?
Well, that is one of the best questions, Jim. My answer is no, not at all. I have not wasted any energy at all of these years to come to this conclusion, because it is part of the way that I think God is working in these last days. He is raising many people such as yourselves and us, and that are bringing the parts, the whole truth together. Because one person cannot really comprehend the whole truth, and that's how God works. And we all know in part, but with the combined effort of researchers like yourself and us, and we can really bring all of this into a biblical perspective. And it never has been a waste of time. Because in fact, I am so glad, Jim, that I have come to this knowledge, at least even though a partial knowledge of all these things, I have come to this. I have been investigating this phenomenon since more than 30 years, and I have never regretted it. And especially, we are living in such exciting times that, and the momentous times that we're going to face in the probably next few years. And this is all worth it. And this is part of what God wants us to do.
Okay, brother, I thank you for being with us again. As you know, the clock has caught us again, that we've been trapped by it. But before we go, I want you to give your address and tell the people listening to our program how they can contact you and get the material that you have available. I know you have several different films that are available and other material also. So share with us your address, your email address, and let people know how to correspond.
Yes. I have two videos. One is called Secrets of Dreamland, and the other one is a new video called The Panic Project. And both of these videos are 2 hours long and filled with information, footages, and everything. And these are available simply by writing to me, either writing to me or by telephone. And if you write to me, just request for the information on how to get this video, just write to me at Norio Hayakawa, H-A-Y-A-K-A-W-A, at P.O. Box 599 Gardena, California 90248. P.O. Box 599 Gardena, spelled G-A-R-D-E-N-A, California 90248. Or you can call me at area code 310-784-7705. 310-784-7705. Or finally, if you want to use email, you can reach me by email at groomwatch@aol.com. Groomwatch, just like Groom Lake, one word. Groomwatch, G-R-O-O-M-W-A-T-C-H at aol.com. And I'll give you all the information in regards to all the subject, as well as my videos and so on.
Okay, brother, thank you. My source is down today. My computer went out on me, so I won't be able to correspond with you for a couple days via that course, but I want to wish you a Merry Christmas and thank you again for being on. It's been a pleasure sharing the microphone with you again. And I just pray that God will continue to bless you and use you as you labor to bring this information to the fore so people will know that God is alive and he's got people representing him in this time and of history to make people aware that we are headed for some phenomenal events. And I think you're doing a great job at that, and I appreciate the help that you've given us here this evening. So I want to say good night and God bless. Pastor Gary's going to come and share with us for a couple moments thoughts out of his heart, and then we're going to leave for the evening. Norio, again, thanks so much.
Thank you very much, Jim and Pastor Gary. God bless you and have a Merry Christmas.
Amen.
Bye-bye. The Lord bless you, Norio. Jim, the average listener may be listening in and think some of this material is kind of frightening, to put it mildly. But in light of what our government is capable of doing, you were mentioning some of the things they're able to do with the films, and also with the media. But I'm thinking back to Desert Storm, the technology that they used with the satellites, that they were able to pinpoint troops, watch missiles destroy targets. And that technology is in existence today. How many satellites are up there watching us that they could pinpoint our whereabouts in, I'm told, within 6 feet of where we're at any given time? And that's without any type of transistor. I have heard that on the internet that they are talking about some military experimenting with microchips implanted into troops. I'm sure they're tracking them by satellite. It's interesting. In light of Matthew 24, where Jesus talks about things that happen in the end times. He talks about signs and wonders and false prophets. I believe that these things are all culminating to the point where we're going to experience Armageddon here on Earth. Even the newspapers are prepared with the headlines. Many military leaders today are talking about an Armageddon, a third world war, perhaps. But this is why Jesus came. About 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin Mary and came into the world that we might have life and have it more abundantly. That's what the Scripture tells us. This coming Sunday at First Assembly of God in Vienna, we have a play that's going to be put on by our children and puppets. Sunday night, we're going to have some ministry and song, a little bit different tone, talking about Christ coming.
A brother named Leslie Bissell, he put this all together, and John Thomas, a brother who's been ministering at our church, and we just want to invite you to come out to the house of God and enjoy an evening about talking about Jesus Christ coming.
Jacksonville Jaguars are in their progression.
The burgeoning of demonic activity in our time is proof of our proximity to the last days and to the mightiest power encounter of all history. The sons of God are on a collision course with the saints of God, and we may well be witnessing the opening scenario. More and more we are finding that mythology in general, though greatly contorted, very often has some historic base. And the interesting thing is one myth which occurs over and over again in many parts of the world is that somewhere a long time ago, supernatural beings had sexual relations with natural women and produced a special breed of people. Do we ever learn from history? What were the conditions on Earth that resulted in its destruction for Noah and his family? What are the conditions on Earth today? Will history repeat itself in our time? Dr. I.D.E. Thomas reveals startling similarities between the past and today, between ancient peoples and modern peoples. The Omega Conspiracy could well be the final battle. For a copy of the Omega Conspiracy, send $10 to Jim Cunningham, Post Office Box 432, Brookfield, Ohio, 44403. Shipping and handling included. Do it today.